Take your Bibles. Let's do our church reading for this morning. Cody, you going to children's church? Betty, you were going there too? Oh, you thought about it. What's that?
I said he drank too much coffee.
Oh. Well, he's been doing a lot this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, please. Amen. And this is the time where we read all together, okay? If you don't have your Bibles for whatever reason, look up on the screen up there and it will help you to read, okay? We'll start with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, just a matter of note, none of you came from monkeys.
Amen.
Okay? Come on now. We didn't evolve and finally come to where we are today. See, the church has to take a stand against all that falsehood from the pit of hell. You came because God created the heavens and the earth. God created Adam and Eve. And through Adam and Eve, all the people of the earth are now here because of them. Okay? God made you. You didn't evolve. You are a perfect person created by God. Just as like Jeremiah says, in the belly of the woman, you have been formed by God, my Lord. Formed by God. And God gives the breath of life. You know, he created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. That was God. He formed it for mankind, my Lord, for us. And so our King, our Lord, our God formed us by his hands. Okay? You didn't evolve. God has made us. So, amen. That's sermon number one. Go ahead, she says. Number two. No, I just want to make that clear. You know, we don't want all that stuff. That's not God. We believe what the Bible says. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stretch forth your hand this way as I pray for myself. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word that is upon my life, Lord. And Father, I surrender all parts of my being unto you, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would help the preacher and the teacher, the gifts that you've given me and which you placed in my life to come out for your people, Lord God. Lord, your anointing, your presence, your power, as I surrender every part of my being unto you this day, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. And everyone says, Amen. In Jesus' name. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. We do want to welcome everyone who's watching, that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon your heart, that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon your life this morning. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16, please. Verse 26, page 1940. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you believe October is already knocking at the door? Where has 2025 gone? My Lord. Fast. Fast. Too fast. Amen. Look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Here we see suddenly. You know, sometimes we don't realize we go and we're doing the same, if you want to say, mundane things, day after day after day. And we don't realize that one day, suddenly, the Spirit of God is going to come and show us and be with us. Here we see, and I'm just reading that verse for right now, Paul and Silas had gone through a great turmoil of a situation. They had been preaching the gospel, and they told them not to, and they kept on doing it. So they took them and they threw them in prison. Now, you know, I don't think any of us has ever been to prison lately anyway that I know of. But even maybe even our own lifetimes, probably none of us. But they were thrown into the prison. And they were in there, and all of a sudden, Paul and Silas just started to praise the Lord, people. Just praising Him. What do we do when situations of maybe disappointments? What do we do when situations come our way that may even hurt us in certain ways? What do we do in life? Paul and Silas decided that they were just going to praise the Lord. You know, we know the end result because we've read it. They didn't know the end result. Just like we don't know the end result of situations in our lives. We don't know the end result of what things we've been praying about and asking God to move in. But God knows the end result. God knows that one day, suddenly, He's going to send down the Holy Ghost to give you the answer that you've been waiting for. One day. And as they are singing, maybe not so loud at that time, at first, because they had been beaten with rods. They had been beaten because all they did was preach about Jesus. But that is an offense to a lot of people. The name of Jesus, it'll stop things in a moment. Just mentioning His name. My Lord, what a God we serve. And all of a sudden, as they're just worshiping, they're in the dungeon, the innermost part of that dungeon, legs spread wide open, their arms stretched out wide in shackles. But they knew they couldn't stop their voice. And so they started to praise the Lord, singing and making melody in their hearts to Him. Maybe it was that low at times. Maybe it was loud at times. But they knew that they had to keep their minds on Him, people. An idle mind is the playground for the devil. Ooh. Idleness is not good. Unless you're sitting and you're praising the Lord. And meditating upon Him. But they just started to praise Him. Look, I'm telling you, probably they thought at times, because they were there for a while, that that was the end of their life probably. They didn't know the end result unless God was showing them. But they didn't know. And so they just kept praising Him. And all of a sudden, suddenly, it says there was an earthquake that came to that prison area, the prison. It said it shook the foundation of the prison. That's a God earthquake, my Lord. It shook it to the foundation of that prison, that all the shackles fell off, not of Paul, only Paul and Silas, but the shackles fell off of all the prisoners. And all the doors came wide open. My Lord, my Lord. When God moves in, God will break off the shackles of life that are shackling people's minds and hearts. God can do it. God can take off those oppressive spirits that try to tackle and destroy and bring havoc upon people's hearts and lives. God's people. My God, but God said He can take off those shackles as we lift Him up, as we praise Him, as we honor Him, and invite the Spirit of the Lord to do His will upon our hearts and upon our lives. Those things broke off of their lives. They were up, and all of a sudden the guard said, oh my God, he got up and said, oh my Lord, he's about to kill himself. He's about to commit suicide, people. Let's put it down to the fact. Because he knew he was dead now. And Paul knew. He got up and hollered at the jailer and said, don't do it. We're all here. And look, he's like, oh, okay. And he came and they ministered. You see, he felt the presence of the Lord. Look. That jailer that had even, that some suggest he might have even been a part of some of the beatings of Paul and Silas. That he stood by Paul and Silas in that jail and he repented of his sins. He gave his life to the Lord. You know why? Because they saw something. He saw God in the event of that suddenly. He saw God in Paul and Silas, and God did a mighty work in his heart and life that he got saved, and not only him, but his family. My Lord. God is in the business of saving families. God is in the business of restoring lives to the kingdom of God, to him. My God, he's in the business of healing people. He's in the business of restoring people's hearts and minds. He's in the business of destroying the enemy from off this earth. God is working and moving. My Lord. Just because God is silent today doesn't mean that He's not moving. Let it sink in a little bit. I'm going to read it again. Just because God is silent today doesn't mean that He's not moving. Just because God seems quiet today doesn't mean He has forgotten. Just because there is no inward response to your outward cry doesn't indicate that God hasn't heard. My God, He's heard our cries. He's heard those things that beset us. He's heard those things that we keep knocking on His door with, saying, Lord, look at this. Lord, look what's going on. God is in the business of moving. One day, the suddenly of the Spirit of Almighty God will come in to that situation and change it around. In the meantime, He's going to change us. Come on. We need a lot of change, people. You know, the church, and I'm talking about the body of Christ, is so selfish. No amens. That's okay. That means you're listening. Very selfish as a, I'm talking about just the body of Christ, because it's all about self. It never should be about humanity, as far as it all should be about him and who he is, and in him helping us to save humanity by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, my Lord. We got to leave self behind. God says what? Oh, we don't like this. Crucify the flesh. We don't like that. We want to please self and that's it, huh? But I tell you, we got to put things aside and say, Lord, only you. And you see, only God, by the Spirit of Almighty God, can come into our hearts and change us and help us to be like him. Because let me tell you, what if Jesus would have said, I'm selfish. And we know he never sinned, so he never sinned. So he never said that. But what if he wouldn't have gone to the cross? And then where would we be? Not in a good situation. Not good. The Bible says to be kind to one another. Even though sometimes we don't want to be. Sometimes even if they don't deserve it. Even when we don't like them. Even we wish something harm would come to them. Or whatever. Be kind, tender-hearted, helping. That's the body of Christ. He says to be those things to one another. To one another. To lift up. To help one another. Lift one another up. To do those things in our hearts and lives. Psalm 66, verse 19 and 20. If you would turn there, please. Psalm 66. Psalm 66, you know the book of Psalms, most of it was written by David. Some of it was one or two chapters by Moses, one chapter or so by Solomon. Asaph, the chief musician, wrote some of it. Sons of Korah wrote some, and then there are some anonymous ones, we're not sure. There's a lot of books, 150, 160, something, whatever, in Psalms, chapters. And so most of them David wrote. So, you know, we're not sure who wrote this 19 and 20. I like to just say David wrote it because I think it fits him well. I don't know. But I can't say for sure. It says, but verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Now, we read this in our Bible study, and I know I mentioned it here maybe a few weeks ago. But verily, God has heard me. Remember this. God hears you when you pray. God hears you. Even through turmoil, through heartache, through pain, God hears when you pray. We have evidence. We know this. The Bible is true. The Bible says when we pray, he hears our prayers, no matter what. He hears us. The devil will try to say, or even ourselves, or even people would say, well, you know, he's not hearing you. He's not even there. But God says, look at this, pinned down by the Spirit of Almighty God, he hears our prayers. So every time you bow your head to pray, over a meal, every time you bow your head to pray, every time you walk in your home and praying, every time you lift your hands and you're seeking God and you're praying, every time you go to God and you're praying about your job, every time you go to God and you're praying about your family, every time you go to God and you're praying about your children, every time you go to God and you're praying about your spouse, every time God hears your prayers. So you know what? You can go to him in confidence knowing that he hears every time you pray. That you don't have to wonder or flip-flop on it. You know without a shadow of a doubt, because of what the word says, he hears your prayers. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. That means he pays close attention to the voice of my prayer. Not only hears it, but he attends to it. That he heard us. Proving that he has not held on to our loved iniquity in his heart. God gives, he hears, and he says, I will do if it's according to what he has planned for us, people. We can rest assured as we pray, he hears our voice from the moment we pray, from that exact moment. You might say, well, should I pray another time for it? Yes, you keep on knocking. And you keep on praying. You keep on believing that God will do what you're praying about. Or he will change our prayers. God, because you never know. Suddenly God will come in and answer your prayer. I know every one of us has had prayers that God has answered. My God, it builds faith in us to believe God for the impossible beyond where we are at that time. Remember what God did last year. Remember what he did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Remember what he did yesterday and what he's going to do today and tomorrow and next year. My God, remember, it builds your faith to believe. If he did it once, he can do it again. If he did it once, he shall do it again. If he did it once, it will come to me again. He will answer those prayers. My God, what a God we serve. He hears our prayers. And he's attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayers or his mercy from me. He did not turn away the prayers of this person, but he attended to it. Acts chapter 16, like we read about Paul and Silas. One day, the answer to your prayer is coming. One day. You keep believing. You keep seeking. You keep asking God to move upon that situation. You ask God to build your faith to believe more in that situation than ever before. That God is going to attend to it. That he personally, my God, he personally attends to it. He personally attends to our prayers. My God. He doesn't let Joe Blow down the road take care of it. He personally takes care of your prayers and listens to them. And the action is about to come. From God the Father. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. As Paul and Silas were laying in that prison, they didn't realize what God was going to do. They didn't realize that God was going to set them free and everyone in that prison. They didn't realize that he would save the jailer and the family. My Lord, my Lord. You see, God goes over and beyond what we've been praying about. You need to hear it. God goes beyond what we've been praying about, over and beyond. We think what we're praying about is something big, and it is big to us. But I tell you what, it seems like God looks at that and says, okay, I'll do that and more. My God. That's the kind of God we serve, my Lord. We look at Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 3. Or so it says, as he was riding that horse, a big light shone upon him. Suddenly the light came. My God. You know why the light came? Because there were people praying for him in Damascus. There were people praying for him all over that area. Because he had tortured the church. And the church kept praying and asking God to move. Let me tell you this. The church, the body of Christ as a whole, might get away from praying, but I tell you what, that's the only thing that will move him as we pray and our faith is built up. As we pray and humble ourselves and ask God to move, that moves our God, and we can rest assured that the suddenlies that God is going to do will come because we've humbled ourselves before Him, and the power of Almighty God will come upon that situation. And He changed Saul's life and even changed his name. And this guy wrote 13 books of the New Testament. My Lord, my Lord. He not only saved him, he was preaching the gospel, and he wrote most of the New Testament. That's the kind of God we serve, people. How close are you for that suddenly to happen in your life that you've been praying about? You need God to answer, and you know it's only God that can answer that prayer. How close are we to revival in churches? How close are we? We're close, people. The power of Almighty God is being restored back to the people. In Mark chapter 10, another suddenly is about blind Bartimaeus. My Lord, my Lord. How many times did he go by the gates and pray? Blind, blind. They don't know for sure if he was blind from birth or it happened later in life. But he had been brought, and they put a mat on the dirt, and he'd sit on it, and he put a cup in front of him, and he was blind, he couldn't see. So he would petition the people to give to him. How many days, how many years, how many months did he do that? And all of a sudden he heard that Jesus was around all over the place preaching the gospel, that his hope, there was hope on the inside of him. Then he heard, look, Jesus is close. Sometimes Jesus might be a little closer than what we think to our lives. We live according to feelings a lot. That's our sin nature. But I tell you what, it says God will stick closer than a brother, Jesus. And all of a sudden, he heard the voice of Jesus. He knew it was him. He couldn't see him. He couldn't see him, but he heard. He didn't realize that his suddenly was coming close to him, that God was going to move upon his life. My Lord. It says he kept calling, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And all of a sudden he caught the ear of the one he was calling to. And Jesus was walking around, and all of a sudden he stops. Read it in Scripture. He stops. And he points. I say he points. To Bartimaeus. He says, bring that man to me. Look. Your prayers may stop Jesus. And that doesn't mean he's going to stop him from working. That means just stop him in his tracks. And he's going to pay attention to the things you're praying about. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, you get the attention of God, and let me tell you, you will get God's plan for that situation. You will get God's plan. Get the attention of your God. You might say, why does God keep calling for us to pray? God has been calling for us to come early and to pray, to come early in our homes, to do those things because He wants fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to share the things that are upon his heart, what he wants to do. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. And in us being with him, he does that on the inside of our hearts. One touch from God outweighs all touches from humanity. Not that we don't need humanity's touch. But I tell you what, we need God's touch. We need the touch of God upon our lives. Bartimaeus needed a touch from God. As Jesus was walking, like I said earlier, he came to a stop. And he said, bring that man to me. It's ironic, he said, bring him to me. Jesus didn't go to him. And they picked him up and they said, look, the man you're calling about, the Son of David, wants to hear from you. Come. And they pick him up and they bring him to Jesus. You know, it's an amazing thing, and I know you heard this before, but it's worth saying again. Jesus asked him what he wanted. What do you want? I mean, you know, he's blind. He can't see. What do you think he wants? You know, you're kind of thinking that's. But Jesus said, what do you want? Jesus wanted him to say, look, when you get with God, be specific. Tell God what you want. Now be cordial with him. Be kind. But I tell you what, tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. If he says no, that's okay. But you never know what he's going to do. You see, the plans of God started in your life when you got saved, and he will not abandon your life. Some of you are thinking, well, I'm just here doing nothing. God has abandoned me. No, he hasn't. He has a plan for you, a plan for your life. And God will order the steps of his plan for you when it's time. And blind Bartimaeus came to him and he said, what do you want? And you know, God healed him. He said, I want my eyesight. And God healed him. My Lord, Jesus did it. Suddenly again, my Lord. The coming of the Lord, another suddenly. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says that Christ will come like a thief in the night. That means be ready. The world makes fun about Jesus' coming. Even politicians. Their demise is coming, people. We pray for repentance, though. We pray for their lost souls that they would be saved. Because no one deserves hell. I just, no matter what, we want them to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Jesus is coming suddenly. You never know. You never know. One day, the trump will sound suddenly. We're going to be just doing whatever. I hope I'm in church. Might be best to be on the job. I don't know. Get out of it very quickly. Can you imagine being in church and we're all just worshiping God and all of a sudden the trumpet blows. Boom! And the church is empty. The offering could go to another church. It doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, God raised. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. With him. In heaven for those 7 years and then on the earth after that. During the millennial reign. My Lord. Suddenly, people. Look, I want you to believe God for the impossible. Things you've been praying about, don't give up. Things you've been praying about, you keep handling on until God may have you change that prayer however he wants to do it. Or he answers it. But let faith rise up to believe God suddenly. All of a sudden also we see in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting there. Suddenlies often mark moments of significant transformation. Whether it is the transformation of life, a ministry, a church, or the world. My Lord. My Lord. Be assured that God is moving on your behalf. Quietly, silently, arranging the pieces of the puzzle exactly to his specifications. And someday soon, in a suddenly of God, all that you've asked him to attend to will be resolved in a manner that amazes you. He is able to do more for us than we can ever ask or think for his children. He does the impossible. One day. You never know. You need a healing. You keep going to God for your healing. You keep going to God for your healing. You don't sit back and say, well, he didn't do it this day. I'm not going to go up next day. I'm not going to. You keep going. And you keep going to God for it. Because you never know. One day. It says by his stripes we are healed. Okay. Thank you for the healing, Lord. So you keep knocking on that door. You have children that are wayward children. You keep knocking on the door. You might say, what you mean by wayward? That means they're not serving God. Maybe they once knew God or never knew God, and they're up to no good right now. But you keep knocking on that door because they're not in your home anymore. So the fence has to grow. You can't, you know, when they were young, you could have that fence very small. It has to widen. And so you just keep them before the Lord. You call out their names before God. And you let God handle them. And all of a sudden, suddenly you're going to get the call that you've been waiting on about what God had done in his or her life. My Lord, my Lord. We don't look at the circumstances, but we look by faith that suddenly God will answer. God will heal. God will bring back the couple that has been almost divorced. God can bring it back. God can restore. God can move. God can do. I guess, you know, I don't like to place limits on God at all. That God, you have to do it this way or you can't do this. He can do it all. The only thing he can't do is sin. He can't do it. But he can do all things in this world, bring restoration, bring health, bring healing, move and do. He can bring back a married couple. He can bring back and restore a situation of a relationships. He can do those things. That's the kind of God we serve. And we don't know tomorrow or this afternoon what's going to happen. But we put our faith in him saying, Lord, you're in charge. Lord, my faith is in you. Lord, you're going to work things out for my good. I will humble myself before you, Lord, and I will seek your face, and I will ask you to move upon this situation. And Lord, I give it to you, and I lay it upon your altar. But don't take it back the next day. But if you do take it back, you go to him again, and you say, Lord, forgive me for taking it back. But Father, I'm trying to learn to trust in you. Because it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And Lord, I want to trust you with all my heart. He knows us. And so we give it to him again. And so we go on to the next day. And we take it back again. And we go to God again and we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I trust you again. I trust in your word. I trust who you are. And all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and it's going to be all his. And he will suddenly move upon us, upon his church, upon the body of believers. Look, he's building an army of believers in the last days. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, to restore, to do, to help us to reach people for the kingdom of God that need God to move upon their heart and soul. See, we just got to let him move. Really, honestly, we don't have the hard part. Really? And I'm about to close. I know you're getting hungry. We have the easy part almost. We give it to him. He has the hard part, I think, that he has to work it out. He has to put this puzzle piece here, and he has to put this puzzle piece here. He has to put this one here so that it all comes together for our good. My Lord, that's a lot of work around the world. But the Holy Spirit can do it. God can do it as we trust him, people. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, my Lord. Acknowledge him in who he is and what he can do. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.